when we start monkeying with election results, we start going the ways of other countries in the past that don't survive very long. Ever wish you could grab a beer and ask a lawyer any question you wanted and have them break it down for you? Lawsplaining at GRL Raw breaks down fancified legal mumbo-jumbo over beers so all may understand. Welcome to the first official season of GRL's Lawsplaining, where we break down fancified legal stuff over beers and make it relatable and understandable for all. This very first episode is timely, it's relevant, it's hot off the press, and it has to do with Mr. Trump and the presidential ballot. As you may have heard, there were a total of three states of our great union that have attempted to kick Mr. Trump off the presidential ballot for this November's election, 2024. There were three states: Colorado, Maine, and I think most recently Illinois gave it a run as well. If you don't follow it in much detail, we're about to break it down for you in a way that hopefully is very relatable and very understandable. If not, I have failed as a human being on this episode. So if you look at it, the overall basis to try to keep Mr. Trump off of the presidential ballot for this year was, generally speaking, under the 14th Amendment. It's actually Section 3 of the 14th Amendment. Believe it or not, there are five sections of the 14th Amendment. The claim is that, if you want to read all of Section 3 of the 14th Amendment, have at it. This is Lawsplaining. We're breaking it down to what's relevant, okay? So for Lawsplaining purposes, what you need to know is that Section 3 of the 14th Amendment says, if you have previously taken an oath of office within the United States government, and you then engage in what could be defined as insurrection or rebellion against the United States, you cannot hold office. Makes perfect sense. Now, it does beg the question, my side question that I will not answer: what if you've never taken the oath of office, but still engage in insurrection and rebellion? Does that disqualify you in the future? We're not answering that question today. We're going to deal with what we have to deal with, which is this particular situation, because the basis of trying to keep Mr. Trump off the ballot was that while still president, after the election came down, obviously the January 6th fiasco, it has been described, it has been alleged that qualifies as insurrection. It's been labeled as that a number of different places. So the idea behind these states trying to keep him off the ballot was that because of his conduct as it relates to the January 6th fiasco, he engaged in insurrection, therefore cannot be on the ballot under the 14th Amendment of the United States Constitution, Section 6. So what happened is, in these three states, there were a number of citizens who took up a cause of action, in essence sued the state, sued the people that are involved in the whole ballot process. I believe it's the Secretary of State, asking and demanding that Trump be kept off of the ballot. Colorado was the first to actually take it up, to have a hearing, to have a trial, and then to ultimately have a decision entered by a court of law. The district court found, as a factual finding, that Trump had engaged in insurrection, and there was a different basis by which they kept him off the ballot. It went up to the Colorado Supreme Court. The Colorado Supreme Court, in a 4-3 decision, agreed the evidence supported a finding of insurrection, and that under the rules, under the Constitution, they could keep him off of the ballot. Now, because this is obviously an issue of national concern, the Trump administration obviously appealed, and the United States Supreme Court was forced to decide the issue. The overriding question, if you think back to high school social studies, the concept of federalism, we'll come back to that. But the overall issue, the question being asked in this case was, can a state remove a candidate from the state's ballot for a nationally elected position within the United States government. If you think about this, there is but one nationally elected official in the United States of America. It's the president. Vice president technically as well, but vice president, let's be honest, is along for the ride, okay? Senators and representatives, those are state voting, right? You have state senators, state representatives. The whole nation does not vote on that position. The president, though, is the only position in the federal government that is voted on by the entirety of the nation. That's what implicates the concept of federalism. Take us back to high school social studies. This is a fundamental concept of our form of government. And simply put, federalism is where we have an overarching national government that's responsible for governing the entire country. But then we have smaller subdivisions, the states, that have the sovereign authority to govern their region as they see fit, but they can't interfere with the national government. So they have to concede or stay away from areas of government that the federal government is charged with. Under the 14th Amendment, the feds boss around the states can't boss around the feds. That's an easy way to look at it. So here comes Colorado. They said, Mr. Trump can't be on our ballot for this election. Thus, nobody, no citizen in Colorado can cast a vote for Mr. Trump. Obviously, that decision has a direct impact on the balance of the Electoral College and how the national election works and how the presidential office is ultimately decided. So if you just take Colorado out of the equation, but then if say you add Maine and you add Illinois, you would have three states where nobody that resides in that state even has the option or ability to vote for a candidate for presidency. So it's impossible then to obtain those Electoral College votes, and consequently, a state's decision now has an adverse impact on what is supposed to be a national election where all citizens of the country's their vote must count. It completely undermines the foundational principles of federalism. And so the case gets before the United States Supreme Court, and it was not close. It's what's called a per curiam opinion, which means the court justices all unanimously agree on the outcome of the case. And generally what they found, everybody could agree, states can't muck with federalism and can't unilaterally on their own accord interfere what must be a national election. They all agreed, simple, high school social studies should teach us this answer. Now, the fun part, though, and it was kind of interesting, three justices went further. Justice Sotomayor, Kagan, and Jackson, and provided a little more context and a little more information behind their decision, which the other four justices were like, nah, we don't need to go there. We don't need to do this. But what they went on to explain is that the 14th Amendment does not provide for any procedure for going about determining if Section 3 prohibits somebody from holding office. So Section 3 is if you've engaged in insurrection, you can't hold office. Section 5 of the 14th Amendment specifically says Congress shall have the power to enforce by appropriate legislation the provisions of this article. Therefore, according to these three justices, states have no right. In other words, the 14th Amendment is specifically enforceable through Congress and Congress only. Therefore, if a state tries to interfere, they're stepping out of bounds. They're going the wrong way. They're swimming upstream. They can't do it. What I found the most interesting when we dug into this, though, is that when you look at the origin of the 14th Amendment, believe it or not, the 14th Amendment came after the 13th Amendment. Okay. 13th Amendment prohibits slavery. That was ratified 1865, right after the Civil War. The 14th Amendment was proposed in 1866, right after the 13th. It was not ratified due to all the political wranglings until 1868. The whole point of Section 3 of the 14th Amendment was to prohibit members of the Confederacy who had previously held office, but then joined the Confederacy, and obviously we had the Civil War. So the idea was to prevent them from serving in the U.S. government again. However, if you look at the end of Section 3 of the 14th Amendment, it specifically says you're disqualified unless you can convince two-thirds of Congress to vote away your disability. So if you're cool enough for two-thirds of Congress, you can come back even if you're a Confederate. But as long as we're cool with you and we allow you to come back, that's the way that's going to work. Interestingly, though, most of the court was pretty much like, we don't have to go here. We don't have to open up a can of worms. Let's leave it as is. The simple answer is, duh, federalism states, no, you can't interfere with what's a national election. That's our job. This is our office. This is the United States, not Colorado's president. It's the United States president. Leave it be. Social Studies 101, that should be done. That, my friends, is the short and simple Trump ballot ballyhoo, law-splained, as simple as I can possibly do. We will see you next time with hopefully another, I don't know, engaging, interesting, curious, off-the-wall thing that involves law that we can break down over beers. And I didn't even get to have a drink of beer the whole time I was talking. I need a guest. See you next time.